Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to this Family Talk broadcast. I'm Roger Marsh, and our host today, of course, is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. You know, when you go back to that time of World War II, there are so many remarkable stories that have been handed down to us here today, stories of survival, stories of standing up to wickedness, stories of doing the right thing in the midst of evil. Well, you are about to hear some encouraging words from an absolutely remarkable woman. And Dr. Dobson, we know her story includes all of these things and more as she rose above the most difficult circumstance imaginable with the help of God.
Roger, you're referring to an amazing Dutch woman named Corrie ten Boom, who helped to rescue more than 800 Jews from Nazi extermination camps. But someone turned them into the Gestapo. They were taken to a concentration camp where 10 days later, Corrie's father died. And then they were taken to a concentration camp called Ravensbrück. It's one of the worst. Most people did not come out of there alive. Somehow, Corrie managed, with the grace of God, to be released. And we're going to hear about how. But this isn't a message of hate. Even though Corrie lost her family and suffered horribly, this is a story of love, believe it or not. Amen. Love in return for persecution, even from the people who were brutal to this family. This is an incredible story, Roger, and I hope everyone will stay with every word that Corrie ten Boom spoke so many years ago as she told this story. There is redemption in it, and there's also a story of the love of Jesus Christ, even under the most difficult of circumstances.
And you know, Dr. Dobson, that's what makes Corrie's story so timeless and so inspirational. She faced horrors that most of us can never even imagine, and yet through it all, she trusted God to guide her.
It's so clear that the Lord had his hand on Corrie ten Boom's life, Roger. She lived, actually, many years after the experience in the concentration camp, and she spoke all over the country, and a movie was made about her life, and the Lord used her in a powerful way, and it even reached out to Shirley and me because we heard her story, and as I mentioned last time, we had dinner with Corrie just shortly before she died. I want to tell you something that happened on that night. Corrie had been to the doctor, and he had told her that her heart was failing and that if they didn't put a pacemaker in, that she was not going to survive. And she told the doctor, "Well, I have to go home and pray about that. I don't know what God's plan is for my life, and it may be best that I not have that procedure. And so I'm going to give him an answer later this week." That was her attitude toward life and difficulty and persecution and even looking death right in the face. That's what she told us at the dinner table that night. And she did indeed die right after that. So that was an inspiration to me. You know, we hold on to life so tightly, but we don't know what God's plan is, but we do know that we need to be submissive to it. And that's what Corrie was saying to us.
Amen.
Let's go on and hear the second half of this presentation, this message that she gave. Corrie died in 1983 on her 91st birthday. And we really consider it an honor to be able to share her words, recorded and preserved, with our listeners today.
When I was brought into that concentration camp Ravensbrück, I had a small Bible, but a whole Bible, Old and New Testament, specially printed for what they called the underground workers. But when we entered, I saw that we all had to be searched. And I saw that they took away everything that the prisoners had hidden under their clothing. And I got scared. I said, "Oh God, oh God, these people may not see me. God, send your angels and let they surround me." But then I thought, yes, but angels are spirits and you can look through a spirit. I said, "God, make your angels untransparent today." You can pray very unorthodox when you are in great need. But God did it. God did it. The woman who stood in front of me was Church, and then Betsy who stood behind me. And they did not see me. So I came with my Bible in the prison. We had to live with 700 prisoners in a room that was built for 200. It was terrible dirty, and very soon our clothing were full of lice. Those lice have caused many sicknesses, but in some way they have helped us, for the guards would never come into our room. They were afraid to get lice from us. That was good. The Bible was a forbidden book, but twice a day we had a Bible message in barrack 28, and God had used for that angels and lice. God can use everything. Hallelujah. God can use everything. Many of the people around me were killed or died, but many died with Jesus' name on their lips. And that was worthwhile. Even Betsy's death and all the suffering that I had to endure. Say, can you forgive your enemies? I cannot, but Jesus in me can. Some time ago, I had a difficulty that some friends, some Christian friends of mine, did something very mean. And I had difficulty to forgive them. And I said, now Lord, you have given me that grace that I could forgive the murderers of my family. Now Lord, it is not difficult for you to give me forgiveness and love for my Christian friends. It took some time, but I forgave them. But, you know, that book that I have written in The Hiding Place, I wrote together with John and Tibby Sherrill. And I had to tell my whole life many things to them. And so they had also heard of my friends. And John Sherrill once said to me, say, Corey, these friends of yours who did that mean thing, what about them? I said, that is forgiven and forgotten, and I will not speak about it anymore. He said, I know that. But I should like to know, what do they think of it? I said, well, they take it easy. They simply say they have not done it. But they can say that, but I have everything black on white in the letters that they have written me. And John said, what? Say, where are your sins? You have told that when you brought your sins, that God has cast them into the depths of the sea, and that there is a sign, no fishing allowed. That is what happened with your sins. And the sins of your friends, you have black on white? Oh, God, give Corey the grace to burn all the black on whites of sins of others as a well-smelling sacrifice for you. I have done it. Say, have you black on white of sins of others? Do you realize that you have no forgiveness? You can't forgive? No, I can't either, but Jesus can. And you will find out that forgiveness is a tremendous joy. For it is a key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. No, you and I have to be the light of the world. And I like to illustrate that with my flashlight. You know, this flashlight doesn't give light. It is not broken, but I have only one battery in it. I need, of course, two batteries. Now, this is like your and my heart. That first battery, that is what happened when you said your first yes to Jesus. So that real decision. And if there are here who have never done it, I hope you will do it tonight. And do you realize that when you say yes to Jesus, so really meant yes, that the angels rejoice? for your soul is very, very precious in God's eyes. And the moment that you receive the Lord Jesus, I told you already, all the promises of the Bible are yours. I asked the lady, say, have you ever received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? She said, I go every Sunday to the church. I said, that's good, but a mouse born in a biscuit tin is therefore not yet a biscuit. Do you know? To be in the church doesn't make you a child of God. She said, but my father and mother are very fine children of God. I said, but God has no grandchildren. You have to make a decision because the Lord loves you. And he likes to hear that you say, yes, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me and I will love you. Thank you that you died at the cross for me. Now, I'm glad she did it, that lady. But now, so there comes such a terrific joy in your heart when you know that your sins are forgiven. That many people say, hallelujah, I am saved. That's the end. Now you may say hallelujah, but don't say it is the end. It is the beginning. That moment you must cash your checks. You must take all the promises of the Bible. And you must learn to live as limitless rich king's children. And one of the great promises of the Bible is that Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. And that is that second battery. And that second battery, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, gives you to be the light of the world. But I could not get it in my flashlight because it is full of rags. And you know, these rags are unrepented sins. This is pride. This is jealousy, envy. This one is unclean thoughts, unclean deeds, unclean words. This is selfishness. These are occult sins. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Will you tonight pray? And will you say, search me, O God, and know my heart today? That is said in the Psalms. There's a beautiful prayer. You can also say, Lord, show me if there are rags in my flashlight. And that's just the same. And then the Lord will show you. And then in the power of the Lord, turn away from your sins. When Jesus shows his great love for sinners, when that woman that was found in adultery was brought to him, the Lord said, I don't throw a stone on you. And then he said, go and sin no more. And that is what Jesus can say, for he bids us fly and gives us wings. One experience of a short time ago, I was in Russia. You may not speak as a foreigner in a church, but I asked if I could bring the greetings from America and from Holland, and they said yes, and my greetings took 30 minutes. And then we sang a hymn, and I asked the pastor, Pastor, may I say goodbye? He said yes, and I said goodbye 30 minutes. So my sermon was a whole hour. And oh, it was a joy to speak to these Christians. I say, don't lose courage. The suffering of this time is not worthy to be compared with the coming glory. God himself will wipe away the tears from the eyes. And the best is yet to be. This world will be covered with the knowledge of God like the waters cover the bottom of the sea. Jesus is alive and his light is stronger than the deepest darkness. I have experienced it, that you cannot go so deep. Always deeper are the everlasting arms that carry you. Oh, it was a joy. It is always a joy to give these people comfort. But one morning I was in my hotel room and I said, God, I like to bring the gospel to the communists. They have an eternity to lose or to gain, Lord. And you died for the sins of the whole world. But Lord, I cannot reach them. Lord, I need a miracle, but you are a God of miracles. Give me the miracle that I can reach the communists today. And the same moment I saw on the floor little holes in the form of a pepper box. The holes in the pepper box. And I understood there is the secret microphone. In all the hotel rooms in communist countries are secret microphones. And they take every word you say on that microphone, on the tape. And I said, thank you, Lord, for that answer. What a joy. I could give a message to communists. Did they listen? They not only listened, they took it on the tape. And they did not keep the tape. They gave the tape to their chiefs. And we prayed for all the people who had to read these tapes. And boy, I had a joy. I said, I have here in my hand a book. A book almost bursting by good news. In this book is, among all other riches, the great answer for the two paramount problems that every human being has. And that is the problem of sin and of death. For in this book you can read everything that you have to know about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died at the cross for the sins of the whole world. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you repent of your sins, then he will cleanse your heart from your sins. And that is he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace and joy and love. And Jesus gives you everlasting life. And that means life in heaven. That is the answer for your death problems. And Jesus has said, come unto me all, and all that is also you there. What a joy. Say, people, pray. Pray for your fellow Christians, especially now for the fellow Christians in China. Pray that your president will be used, that there comes an opening, that Christians can come into China and help the Christians there and bring the gospel to the many who have never heard the gospel. Greatest half of the body of Christ is suffering persecution. And Watchman Nee said, when my feet were whipped, my hand felt pain. And the feet are whipped of the Christians over a great part of the world. Pray for your fellow Christians in these countries. And be sure that you cash your check so that you will be strong in times when you should come in difficulties of persecution. And the great joy is when you surrender all to the Lord. He will fill your heart with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit not of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. I have here a glove that cannot do anything. But when my hand is in the glove, it can cook, it can write, it can do many things. No, I know that is the glove. That's not the glove, that's the hand in the glove. You and I are nothing but gloves. And the hand, that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does the job that he makes you children of the light. The light in this very dark world. But you must give room to the Holy Spirit when my hand is only in the midst of the glove. Now the glove cannot do anything. No, you must surrender every finger, every corner of your life to the Lord. And he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. We pray. Thank you, Lord, that there is such an ocean of love available. That love that you have brought into our heart through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you did that. And thank you, Father, that love in us is sufficient. and more than sufficient to overcome the problems that we have to face when we come home, when we go to our work. We praise and thank you, Lord, that your love still stands also when all else has fallen. And now, Lord, search our hearts. Show us if there are unconfessed sins, rags in our fleshlight, pride, envy, selfishness. Tell it us, Lord, and we praise and thank you when we repent. You forgive and cleanse us. And Lord, show us if there are black and whites of sins of others in our life, in our heart, perhaps in a little drawer at home.
Oh, Roger, that recorded message touched my heart again many, many years after I first heard it. Corey's account of her persecution reminds me of the first half of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is called the Hero's Hall of Fame by theologians today. Yeah. It recounts the godly men and women who suffered terribly for their faith, and they remained faithful to the Lord despite the hardships that they went through, even death, as we'll read. I want to read this passage in closing today and do it in memory of Corey. Hebrews 11, 35 to 40. And this is what it says. It goes back through the centuries to godly men and women who didn't waver despite the horrible things they went through. And this is what it says. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated in the world that was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Mm-hmm. What is meant by that last passage is that they did not see Christ in the flesh. They lived before he came. They didn't understand the full implications of what would later be called the gospel, right. But they remained faithful to God because they believed in him.
Amen.
And I believe they're in heaven today, and I believe Corey is there too.
Amen.
She refused to become bitter against her Nazi tormentors because she loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and she went on to introduce millions of people to him who will, I believe, be with her in heaven too. Maybe that harvest of souls will also include some of our listeners today who happened, I use the word happened today as though it were a coincidence, but I don't really believe it.
Right.
The people who have been listening today, some of them will choose to accept that wonderful forgiveness and grace that is provided to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope you enjoyed and were touched by this message today, and it's a pleasure to bring it to you.
Well, that is a fitting conclusion to a very deeply moving testimony by Corey Ten Boom, and that's been the focus of the past couple of days of our Family Talk broadcasts. Doctor, I have certainly been touched by her story, and I know that many of our listeners who are in my situation, who are hearing this for the first time and responding to it, and then you're touching close from the Faith Hall of Fame there in Hebrews chapter 11, we're not going to be the same. We have been changed over what we've heard over the past couple of days, and many hearts have been changed even by the power of the gospel in what you just shared. Friend, if that is your story and you want to hear Corey's amazing testimony again, or maybe you heard it and you've been so inspired by this, that you know someone in your world, maybe one of your children, maybe one of your friends, someone at church, maybe your pastor. I encourage you to call us here at Family Talk and get the CD of the entire two-day presentation. Now, you can reach us over the phone at 877-732-6825, or you can just go to drjamesdobson.org and download the broadcast there. We also have a link if you want to learn more about the life of Corrie Ten Boom and the rest of her family. Go to drjamesdobson.org for that information. And thanks for joining us as well. Be sure to tune in again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.